missionary movement in the book of Acts began as they set apart themselves to pray and fast and minister to the Lord, and that from that the Lord sent out the multitude, or sent out the disciples, and the gospel spread. Last week we spoke about the Holy Spirit and how they were empowered by the Spirit before they could also do it. They were at what God called them to do. They were enabled by the Spirit of God. I was going to share on Acts again this week, and I couldn't get anything, and then Andrew told me it's Father's Day. I was like, okay, and the Lord immediately dropped something into my spirit, and I want to share something on the Father. I have a long passage to read, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, and you guys should know this well. It's the prodigal son. I'll call it for the sake of this. It's the prodigal father. That's Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. Do I have a volunteer to read it? Bob, you want to read it, brother?
Good.
Let me say something before you read it. I was thinking, and I know sometimes when you read long passages in Scripture, we can tend to zone out, and the Lord reminded, he said, Paul, give yourself to public reading of Scripture. It's a biblical thing to read Scripture in service. So, Bob, if you can read that for us.
All right. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled, I feel like I should interpret some of this King James, but his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of mine fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy
my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has been received him safe and sound, your father has killed and fatted the calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. Amen. Bob, I'm glad I asked you. I was in here this morning, and it's like, I need to ask Bob to read this. And not to put you on the spot, but that's going to be a prayer of mine that I can read a passage and not be able to get through it because I can't stop the tears in my eyes. I think that should be a prayer for all of us. That's the Lord challenge to me. Father, give me such a love for your word where I came and such a love for you that I can't even read it without getting through without tears in my eyes. Amen. Amen. And it is a beautiful story. I was reading some this week, and there's an editor who was a Christian. I forget the thing he wrote in. But he said people would nickel and dime me over every little grammatical error I made. We're talking about grammar class last week, and you should have used a semicolon and not a colon. And he says, one time I made a mistake, and I wrote about the prodigal son, and I titled it the prodigal father, and I didn't mean to do that. And he said, I got so much mail coming in and saying, yes, finally, when someone finally acknowledged it for what it is. And so I my heart this morning, I'm going to speak about the two sons, but this is really the prodigal father. And if you look up the word prodigal, it really means, we've seen that song, Reckless Love of God. It means to be reckless, to go, just to tear everything aside and just go after something. And I believe that's the heart of the Father for all of us this morning. It's the heart of the Father towards these two sons. Let me just share a few things to build up to it. Then I'm going to kind of go through this verse by verse. I'm not going to be long this morning. We're going to take communion and do that. But let me say this. Jesus came, and I believe his heart was from the very beginning to have a family. He's the Father. I've said this before. This is the Lord's Prayer. It's not our God who's in heaven. It's our Father who's in heaven. So often when I pray, Father, Father. It denotes relationship. Okay? He's Father. And let me say this. In John chapter 1, let me read this because I want to reference something. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were praying for someone in prayer the other week, and Sharon mentioned him. I don't mind saying his name. His name's Carlton Pearson. And he started teaching something, which unfortunately I know a couple people who got into it as well. Universalism, and basically it says that all roads lead to the same place, which is absolute false. God is everyone's creator, but he's not everyone's father. We are his father through faith in Jesus, or he is my father through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's why Willie and Catherine, so Catherine, for example, different nations, male, female, white, African American, yes, she's my sister in the
Amen.
Lord. Why is that? It's because we have the same Father.
Right.
We're joined in the Spirit because she's my sister. God created everyone, and sometimes we hear politicians that we're all God's children. Well, we're all God's creations, but we're his children through faith in Christ, and so he is our Father. That's why I call each other brother and sister. It's a family. I believe God's always wanted a family. And we find that throughout Scripture, and I talked about some, and even Jesus, when he was in the garden, he said, Abba, Father. If it is your will, let them take this cup from me. Abba, Amen. Father. And if you look at that word, I've shared some on this before. Abba, Father was the term they used in Israel. Back in the day, it was very common. It was a term of endearment. And so it's like if my kid comes and sits in my lap and he calls me Papa, basically. You know, Papa God, Papa Daddy. Says, Abba, Father. And God, Jesus himself, when he prayed, Abba, Father. He says, as he is, so are we in this earth. And Romans 8:15, just stay with me for a minute. Romans 8:15 says, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so Jesus was modeling something. He is our Father. I can speak to him with the term of endearment, of affection. Lord, you are Abba, Father. You're not just God. He is God, is he? He is God. But he's also my Father. He's relational. I've shared about this before. He's not the CEO who's got his picture on the wall that we get an email from once a year. Tells about our job performance. He's an intimate, personal father, and he desires relationship with us. Quick recap as well. In Romans, it talks about the adoption process. There's four things that happen. It says the adopted person lost all rights in his old family and gained all rights as legitimate son in the new family. Now, Paul was describing those who've been taken out of darkness into light. Basically, his whole heart was, as believers, we're now in the family of God. Okay? I'm not just a Christian, I'm part of the family. He's my father, he's my brothers and my sisters. It followed that he became heir to his father's estate. That's good. His old life of the adopted person was completely wiped out. All of his debts were canceled. That's a historical thing, is how Paul was using to describe our relationship with God. In the eyes of the law, he was a new son to his father. And so I'm just saying this to say this, as through faith in Jesus Christ, when we come in, he becomes our father. He becomes our Abba Father. I want to speak on the prodigal son or the prodigal father because I see the father's heart in it. I see the son's heart in it. I see me in both the older and the younger son. I think all of us will when we're done. But the prodigal father, I can see him in a new and in a living way. This is probably one of the most common stories that people know. We have someone, I went to Bible school with him, and he was a funny guy, but he posted something on his Facebook. He went to Applebee's. And I guess he hadn't, I don't know if you saw this or not, Andrew, Seth, and he hadn't been in Applebee's in forever. And he wrote something on Twitter about how amazing this thing was at Applebee's. He quit going and he came back. But in Applebee's official Twitter feed, wrote him back and said, welcome home, Seth, our prodigal son. And so he took a picture and said, I think I'm famous now. And so it's everyone kind of knows this story, whether you know the Lord or not, whether you have any clue what it is. We understand the idea of the prodigal son who is gone and he comes back. One thing we do, though, and oftentimes religion will do this, is that we focus more on the misdeeds of the son rather than the goodness of the father. And we put all our efforts on this is what the son did, he didn't do, rather than this is who the father is. Because the father welcomed back with open arms, despite what his heart was. Amen. And I want to focus some on the father. I'm not going to be long this morning for us. First of all, as we go, if we look in Luke, I'm going to go just through Luke 15, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, okay? This is my reading of it. Other people agree with me. You can if you want. I don't believe this is a story of necessarily someone who didn't know. These were two sons who were in the father's family, okay? It was me and you. It was those who had faith in Christ. They were already sons, okay, of the Father. And we show how the Father did stuff through their own immaturity, through their own mentality of self-works. But it's the attitude of a father towards his children. Are we children of God? Is he our Father? So I want to know what his attitude is towards it. And so in our first part in our reading it is they were sons of the house. They were sons of the Father. They had a right to an inheritance, okay? And it says in the younger, verse 12, it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. First, as we start off, his whole mentality was, Father, give me. Give me, give me. At the end, it was, make me. But his father, he says, give me what was done. There's an inheritance in that time. The older son would get 2/3, the younger son would get 1/3. What he was basically saying was this. There's a certain callousness to it. He says, Father, say James is my dad, and when you die, I get $100,000, let's say, okay? I'm living with James, and I say at the time, you know what, James? I don't really care about you other than what the money, so give me my money and let me go. I don't care about relationship with you. Give it to me, and I'm gone. That's what the younger son did, okay? There's a certain callousness to that. A son of the house, he is my father, yet I say, you know what? I'm aware of all this inheritance. I don't really care about you. I don't care about staying in the house. I just want what you have. And then leave me alone to go on my merry way and let me do my thing. You see it that way? This is what the father had. I don't want it. Give it to me. Drop dead. Let me go. Okay? It says, and the father, and let me say this before we go. It says something about the father that the father would let him do that. Do you know our Father gives us choices and He gives us free will? I read something before. In the Lord, I believe God's sovereign is a sovereign will, but within that, He allows us freedom. And you can see that. Even in prayer, I've said this about prayer changes things. What if I said, you know, Solomon, maybe this is what the Lord wants. I'm not going to pray about it. Okay? I believe God listens to our prayers. I believe He moves through prayers. And so I have the freedom to do it. You're free to make a choice, but you're not free to alter the decisions of the choices that you make. Okay? Oftentimes we live in life and it's easy for me to blame this on this or that, when sometimes it's our own choices. I'm free to choose. And one thing too, in our lives as believers, without revision you cast off restraint. If there's a vision on your life, no matter what it is, there's going to be restraints on that. Okay? He gives you freedom to move out. Me, and it's always been this way, there's certain things I don't think are sin, and I just can't do them because there's a restraint on my life. I have the freedom to step out of that and say, you know what? You're still my Father. There's freedom in the Lord. Bless God, I'm going to do it. But because there's a vision to my life, because there's something to my life, it puts restraints on me. Okay? It always should. I was reading, it was Butler actually, Jim, and he was talking about how kids would come to Bible school. You know, come to Bible school and say, well, this is not, I just want to be free and do what I want. He said, well, that's fine. You can do it. Then you can go out. But when you go into this world, there's always restraints. In your life with God, there's always restraints. And this man, he would travel all over the world. And he said, people would say, man, I want to do that. I want to do that. And he said, you have no idea. I'm just on the airplane, just in intercession for hours the whole time I'm there. Because there's a vision to his life. There's certain restraints the Lord puts on. He gives us freedom to move out from that. I have the freedom to say, you know what? This is going on in my life. Father, I don't really want it. And I can step out from that. Because there's a vision to my life, it brings restraint. If I step out of that, I'm free to do that. But I'm not free to alter the consequences of what happens for that. Amen? It's important to understand that. That's a good kingdom principle. I have freedom. But without vision, people cast off restraint. If I have no vision to my life, no restraint. Okay? So first and foremost, it speaks of the generosity in the heart of the Father that He would allow the Son and not, I'm going to whip you back into shape, boy. Hey, you don't care about me, right? Okay, James says, well, take it and go, okay? The Lord will allow that in our lives, okay? He's going to be looking for us to bring us back. This is the heart of the Father, but He gives us freedom, okay?
Amen.
And so it says He journeyed to a far country. And let me say this too. He left the Father's house, so He was still the Father's Son, but He left the protection of His Father. Okay? He wanted the inheritance. Let me say this. In 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 1, it talks about our 1 Peter 1, 4, our inheritance being heaven, I believe. 1 Peter 1, 4, you can read it. Let me say this, too. There's certain believers, and make sure you're not one of them, where you get saved just for some fire insurance. So I don't want to go to hell. I want my inheritance of heaven, and I want nothing to do with my Father. That happens sometimes. My inheritance is heaven. Okay, I'm saved. Okay, I might pray a little bit here and there. I might read a chapter a week in the Bible. But bless God, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Okay? Make sure that's not you. We have too many of that in our country today. We don't need more of that. We have to have something. The Father's given me eternal salvation. But I still desire to be with my Father. I don't say, I want to go to heaven and I'll connect with you every now and then. I'll call you on Father's Day and things like that. It's important that we keep it. But there's also in Ephesians, it speaks of, and I've already spoken this, about the inheritance of believers. And so there's different things. Let me say this. I desire, and I spoke on this last week. I was almost brought to tears last week, actually, when I was done with my message. I want all that God has for me. Okay, I want all that God has for this church. Okay, stories like we had with Solomon, that should be normal.
Amen.
Situation. I mentioned I took the girl's name off, girl Brooke on the back. That should be a normal situation. What we see in the books of Acts would just be normal Christianity. I want that. I want the power of God in my life. I want the presence of God in my life. And I was actually talking to you some this morning, Jim, about that. You know, it was really my message, but sometimes we can have the power and the anointing without the relationship, which brings us into the character of Christ. Okay? And we see that some. I've seen it some in the body of Christ where men who have tremendous anointings, tremendous giftings. And some of them will say this. I was listening to a minister one time. He said, I used to always go off to my cabin to be with the Lord. And he said, the Lord would speak to me. He would do such powerful things in my life. I would take it back. I'll take it back. And he said, it's been a long time since I've been in that cabin. What's your cabin? What's your prayer closet? Be careful that whatever you do, because all of us have ministries. I don't just want, Lord, I want the inheritance. Lord, if I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover more than anything, but I don't want that without going back to my prayer closet and being with you. It's not either or, it's both an and. And I have them together. Because that relationship that we have with our Father always keeps you grounded. He says he left and he went to a far country and he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land. Ephesians also tells us to be continually filled, right? If I leave my Father's provision, if I haven't been to my cabin to be with the Lord in a long time, it's like a phone. Andrea lost her phone this week for a few weeks, and lo and behold, it was here at the church. And I found it yesterday when I came in here. And what had happened to the phone, been out from under our house, the battery was dying. We had to take it home and charge it. If I step away from relationships, so if I say, James is my father, he's got $100,000 for me, and I want it at expensive relationship with him, I can take that, but eventually I'm going to spend it all. And there's going to be a famine in the land. And if I have nothing in me from my relationship, you have $100,000. Maybe you can give it to me one day. See you later. That's prophetic. Okay. And there's nothing to sustain me from that. There's a famine in the land, and I find myself in disgrace, eating pig stuff, right? I always keep that relationship. That's what the Father was after. And so if we go on, it says, when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my Father, in verse 18. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. A servant or a slave was not in the household. And so the son was saying, you know what? I'm not worthy of anything. I was in here yesterday, and I want to say this because I feel like it's, I don't know how many people it's for. Your heavenly Father, trust me, listen to me, just listen to me right now, loves you more than you have any idea. If I came in here yesterday, one thing that happens to me sometimes, and this is intercession, is you begin to feel and take on something, and what's this? This is how this person's, and I came in here yesterday, and I don't know what it was. I said, God's going to strike me dead. I felt like I was thinking, what have I done? What have I done? And I felt so unworthy. This is not necessarily the norm. And I was like, what's going on? And the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, this is how some of my people feel. They're my sons. They're my daughters. But they feel so unworthy that they almost, it's like Adam and Eve, they cover themselves and they run from my presence rather than run to me. Okay? The son was gone, and he said, I'm no longer worthy. Make me like a slave. I don't even belong in your family anymore. What was the father's response to him? What's the father's response to you if you feel so removed from him that you can't even connect? Sometimes, and I've spoken to someone, they said, I feel so far from God. I feel so, I don't even make attempts anymore because he doesn't want anything with me. That's not the heart of the father. He's the prodigal father. And he says, but the father... it says, and he rose and came to his father. He came to his father. When I'm away from my father, I'm going to know it. He went to his father, but he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In the original language, kissed him, it means he continually kissed him. Continually. So it's the Song of Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. He saw him from a long ways off. If you're still a son of the house, if you're still connected, if you're still washed in the blood of Jesus, even if you've allowed, whether it's anything in your life, Father, I want my inheritance and I don't want you, and I run, the Father saw him from a ways off. And I read too in some of the Bible customs and manners, this was very uncommon for a father to run and show expression and emotion like that. That's our Heavenly Father. He can see me from a mile away when I've been unfaithful, I've been a bad boy. and he's going to see me, and he sees my face turned back, sees the repentance, Father, I've sinned, and he runs towards me. And he continually kisses me.
Amen.
That's who our Father is. That's who our Father is. He loves us. If I turn back, even if someone did that to me and says, Clay, just give me what you got, I could care less about you, and they wanted to run back, and myself, like, okay, well, you've got to kind of earn it, and I would gloat a little bit, you know, now you're back at my, you know. That's not our Father. He ran. And then he says, too, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. And the father didn't let him finish, because up front he rehearsed what he was going to say. He said, I was going to tell him, make me like one of your hired servants. Before he could say that, the father says, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, the authority, the robe, the relationship, the covenant, the sandals, the wealth, the kingdom. And bring a fatted calf here and kill it and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. What is he saying? The son said, I'm not worthy. Make me like one of your servants. The father says, you're my son. You ran away. You were lost, but now you're back into the household. You had a horrible attitude towards me. You've taken the inheritance. You didn't want me. But that's fine. I've always wanted you. And I've seen you from a mile away. And my heart is to run after you when you turn and to give you continual kisses. Can you imagine your heavenly father doing that? Any area of your life where you look and I see whether it's, Lord, I just want the things of you, no matter how good they are, or whether I just want a trip to heaven, I want you to leave me alone, you know. You know, there's times in my life where I've been like, Lord, I just, gosh, could you just leave me alone? Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm a human. If there's moments in my life, Father, Lord, I want you again. I want you, I want you, I want you. I spoke when I told that ministry to God a couple weeks ago. Sometimes you can get burnt out, okay? But Father, keep me going. I'm going back and I'm signing up for ministry to God class again. Lord, I'm signing up for your household again because you're what I want, you're what I need. Oftentimes I was reading a study on Christian men who struggle with pornography. And if anyone in here does, it's complete confidence. I want you to come to me. We'll pray through you and see you through that. But one of the things that goes through in situations like that is we replace the intimacy that comes from our Heavenly Father. We begin to fill it with other things. And whether that's power or position or for men, like I saw this study, different areas of our life, we begin to fill it with something that our Heavenly Father is supposed to fill because I've left the house. Just like the minister, go back to your cabin and meet with the Lord. Lord, I need to go back to the cabin. I just want to be with you. Amen? Because you're my father. Then we get to the older son. And oftentimes we focus on the younger son. And the older son was left in the field. He came, he drew. In verse 25 it says, he drew near to the house and he heard music and dancing. So he called his servants and asked, he said, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed and fatted the calf. So the older son had his own party. It was a pity party. Verse 28, it says, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And he says, this is very telling, verse 29. He says, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. If you look at it, the older son wasn't too much different from the younger son. They both wanted the same thing. They just had different methods to get there. The younger son just said, I don't care about you. I'm going to shoot you straight. Just give me the money and let me go. The older son says, I'm going to be wise and work for it. They both wanted the father for something other than the father. Okay? I can have the... When I have him, I have, and he actually says this, the father actually says, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. When I'm with him, I have all of him. But this is, let me say it this way. I've been the older son in my own life too, and I've seen it. I was thinking back to when I was in Bible school. And when I went to Bible school, I didn't waste my time. I really sought God. I said, I'm all the way up here in the middle of nowhere. I'm going to give it my all. And I did. And sometimes I would see some of the students, and I know they, this is me talking, and I'll say, you know what? God's using them in an outstation in a way He's not using me. How it happens, it doesn't make sense. I was like the older son. I've done more than this person's done. They're not worthy of that. You hear that? What was I doing? I was saying, I was the older son. I've done this. I've done this for you because I want this. I was using the Father, and I was putting in my time for something else, right? Anytime I read a quote. It says, there's a sense in which the older son was obedient, yet far from his father's heart. His story reveals the possibility of living in the Father's house, yet failing to understand the Father's heart. Read that again. His story reveals the possibility of living in the Father's house and yet failing to understand the Father's heart. Just to get back, the Father welcomed and embraced them. If I'm doing this to the Father, if I'm doing this to God, He still embraces me and He still loves me because He's the Father, right? And He's open to my heart. There's a principle. I don't work for favor in the kingdom of God. I work from favor. And it's something that's put in my work, for example, in my job. They work me to death lately. But I will do things, and I work. I know if I do a good job, if I do more than the other person, I'll have more favor in my boss's eyes. If we grow up with that instinct, if I'm in school, if I do more in my class, my teacher's going to like, if I do more on the basketball court, they're going to... And sometimes we take that into the kingdom of God. We take that to our walk with God, where if I do more, I'll get more. I don't work for favor. As a son of God, I work from a position of favor. Okay? Yeah. Don't do it for it. I do it from my identity of who I am as a son in my Father's house. Amen. He's my Father. I don't work to impress Him. I work... Listen, I was thinking about this. The law, it has it say... Love of the law or law of love? Let's say I share with you things that you need to do. Let's say, remember when I shared on giving and we were generous people and we're giving and we took the offering and we gave it into the community. And so it's important that when we do that, sometimes we like it better when people tell us, this is what you're supposed to do. I like to preach more to the heart, what's your motive and the root behind it. Okay, because if I deal with what's in the heart, everything else takes care of itself. If I say, okay, I can give you every verse about we've got to be generous givers, generous people. What can happen in a case like that is I can say, yes, that's the word of God. I'm going to do it. But then I say, you know what? I'm not going to give 10% to my church. I'm going to give 15%. And then I'm going to give 5% to another ministry. I'm going to give 20%. And what happens is I start to be proud of myself because I'm giving 20%. And then I see James giving 10%, and I see the Lord blessing him financially. And if I'm not careful, because I'm doing something out of obligation rather than because I love the Lord and I want to give, and then I look and I see I'm not being blessed, I'm giving 20, he's giving 10, he's being blessed. And then I'm like the older son, I've given 20%, you haven't blessed me. I've given this, and you haven't done this for me. And I start comparing and contrasting. I pray for this many hours a day. You only pray for that many hours a day. Why am I doing it? Am I doing it to be better, to put more time in than him? Am I giving so I can give a higher percentage than him? Or am I doing it because I love the Father? Okay? That's an important, it gets to the root and the heart of the issue. Why do I do what I do? Do I love the law? Or do I have the law of love operating in my life? If I have the law of love operating in my life, I can give 20 and he can give 10 and I can see God pouring out provision on him and celebrate with him. Yes, man, you're being blessed. Rather than I do more than he does. That's the older son. That's so easy for believers to fall into. It really is. In my heart to you this morning, I'm spending more time on the older and younger son than I want. If that's the case, the Father's heart is that you're always with me. He actually says the Father did not, in the original language, he did not call him son, he called him child, which is of tenderest affections. son, child, I love you. All that I have is yours. And the father says, I want you to love me. I want you to give. I want you to serve in the fields. I want you to do all these things, not to garner favor with me, but I want you to do it because we're bonded as father and son. If it was a business, it would be father and son, LLC, right? He partners with his children. And I'm doing it because I have a love for my father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I feel the Lord in this. I believe the Lord's speaking to someone. I'm going to go ahead and end it. The younger son found his identity in what he could get from his father, and so did the older son found identity in what he could do for his father. The father wanted their identity to be, I'm your father, and you're in my household. Okay? All that I have is yours. I have this brochure out there. It's the heart of God. I forget what's the name of it. The Word of God's Heart. And it was a vision someone had, and he said the Lord laid all these different ministries in front of him, and he kept going to the door and saying, I don't know, I don't know. And he finally got to the last door, and it was just ministry to God. It was basically just being with him. And the Lord said, because you've chosen this, you get all the other things. You get the healing. You get the miracles. You get the prophecy. You get the evangelism. Why? Because you chose the greater thing. And my heart to you this morning is that the Father has love for you. Whether you find yourself, I'm not going to get into if you're the older son, the younger son, or your combination of both. The Father says, I want your identity, not to be in the goodies you get from me, because you get goodies in the kingdom of God. Amen. He's a good Father. He does great things. Okay, and I want all that. This sermon is not diminishing that at all. I contend for that in my private life. I want all those things. But my identity is not my gift. My identity is not in how much I put in the plate over there. It's not how much I've read today. My identity is I'm clay. I'm a child of the King of Kings. He is my Father. And if I run far away in any way, he sees me a ways off. He doesn't say, now you're going to get... He says, no, I see you a ways off, and I'm going to kiss you continuously. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to put the best things on you. I'm going to say, you are all that I have is yours. My child, I want you to be with me. I was reading something. I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to take communion. I almost played a video. I decided against it. I want to find the man's name. It's a guy named Barry Adams. Some of you may have read it before. It's called The Father's Love Letter. It was done in 1999. I just discovered it. But what a man does is he goes through Genesis to Revelation, and I don't know what translation he uses, but he takes verses and passages of the Father speaking to us. And I want to read these over you before we take communion. If you want a copy of this, let me know, and I'll email it to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down, I know when you rise up. I'm familiar with all of your ways. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. You were made in my image. In me you live and you move and you have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all of your days were written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I've been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it's my desire to lavish my love upon you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect Father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plans for your future have always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are as countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and with all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in the midst of all your troubles. When you're brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I'll wipe every tear from your eye, and I'll take away all the pain you've suffered. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you. And to tell you that I'm not counting your sins against you, but Jesus died so that you could be reconciled, that I could be reconciled with you. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been your Father, and I always will be your Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love your Dad, Almighty God. And I read that. If you want to, I can email it to you. There's a video of it. And if you just take that in, the heart of the Father towards us, towards His children, whether I've been a jerk, whether I'm the younger jerk or the older jerk, He still sees me afar, and His desire is for you. Unconditional love. We don't know that oftentimes in our culture, because our oftentimes love and relationship is conditional. I love Willie if he does something for me or if he meets certain expectations. I don't always meet his expectations. Even on my best day, when I've got the greatest disciplines in the world, I'm not meeting his expectations. His expectation is, son, I just want you. It's powerful. Amen. Andrew, you come up and play. We're going to take communion. Can I get a couple of gentlemen? We're going to pass out the elements and take communion.